On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago is on the verge of opening back up. Phase 3, as bars and brewery tap rooms can now start serving customers outdoors. Nick and I are still playing it cool. We're here drinking at home, got our craft can beers, and we're just recapping some of the news that's been happening over the last couple months during the pandemic. All that more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Schmalewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And it's just Nick and I this episode. We got a few guests lined up, but nothing confirmed right now, so.
Cheers to our guy, Bobby the Booch.
I was like,
you're like, who's Bobby the Booch? Yeah, Junshine Bob, man. You know, he broke it down so it can forever be broken. All the things about kombucha that we didn't know we wanted to know that much.
Yeah.
But we learned. We got learned.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. And I have a lot of Junshine to still drink. So, that's my side drink. You know, I got to.
It's not your main. It's not your main thing. It's your side action.
Yeah,
It's what you put in the. It's what you put in the koozie, and you know, you just tell people it's a lot. Mm-hmm. That was a good episode, man. I like Bobby.
Yeah, I did see that Weiner has a hard kombucha out. I happened to be at the grocery store the other day, and I saw Weiner hard kombucha.
Right on. You know the two that. The two that Junshine had were make me want to try others. I can't tell you that I've had a hard kombucha before that. Flying Embers sent me some stuff a while back, and I just never drank it.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably good. It's a kombucha. I've never had it, though. So that was my first one, the Junshine joint.
Nice. Well, what are you drinking now? We don't have kombucha.
No. We're back to beer, man. The good folks at Hot Butcher. This can reminds me of... The juice that Corridor brings out, Squeeze It.
Yeah.
It's got those kind of vibes where it's like a psychedelic kitten emits showers of sparks. This is a great can. This is Mosaic, Sabro, and Galaxy. It's a DIPA. It's nice and cloudy. It's delicious, man. I dig it a lot.
Nice. Still riding the haze train hard. I feel like I go through little waves here in this quarantine where I like them, but just hanging out drinking haze at home isn't as fun.
Yeah, you're right. And then honestly, man, like in the descriptors, like I had a palate this week from we had them on the show, Foreign Exchange.
Oh yeah.
It was a DIPA from them and it says DIPA milkshake IPA. But then I'm having this emits showers of sparks from a Hot Butcher, and it don't say nothing about milkshake, but it's the same consistency, the same cloudiness as that milkshake.
Okay.
So you're just kind of thrown off, but it does not give off milkshake vibes in the flavor,
okay.
in the texture.
Well, I'm going way far from that. I have from Blue Island, their massive political corruption, you know, seems
goddamn
very appropriate for the time we're in right now. But this is an amber ale. When was the last time you had an amber ale?
Man, probably with you, and it was probably like Bell's Brown, Bell's Best, probably.
Oh yeah, that's probably, right. Yeah, it was probably. Oh, that's their brown ale, the Bell's Best Brown. Oh, they do have that amber. Yeah, you're right.
Man, you're talking, That's I haven't even heard that term in a while. amber ale.
Yeah, I took a trip out to Blue Island this past weekend because they had this new collaboration beer that they brewed called Dixie Highway with what's everyone out there? Blue Island, Open Outcry, One Trick Pony. Is that there? Is that
mm-hmm. Yes, and the spot out in Crete, which is a really nice spot too. The name escapes me because it's in fucking Crete. It's a cool spot, though.
Yes,
I think they're the ones that put it all together. Okay, they have a really good barley wine too. God damn, what's the name of that spot? Because it's not Crete Brewing; it's something else. God, we suck. But, man. We haven't.
Well, we're not. We're not. Shape, man. Yeah, we'll get all the facts when we actually drink it. Yeah. It's 11%. It was a $20 2-pack. So you know, but a dollar of it goes to the Dixie Highway. No. Yeah, it goes to like a charity out there. So it was a worthy cause. That's how I felt. So I picked up the political corruption, and I picked up some of their Five Bridges, the Kolsch. So that was pretty tasty. Or that is pretty tasty. I have a 6-pack to drink.
Hmm. Evil Horse.
Evil Horse, okay.
Evil Horse. Yeah, because I think the Dixie Highway Trail was kind of created by them. You get stamped everywhere and you get this nice tackard, right? And then I think you get entry into VIP passes for what was going to be their Oktoberfest.
Okay.
This year at like a former racetrack out in Crete. I think that was the rundown. So
I didn't get the stamps because I'm not going to the other places. Like Blue Island right. is like...
Well, they're not particularly close, these locations, yeah. right?
It's nice though with no traffic. I was... to Blue Island in 30 minutes and then back in another 30 minutes
from home
from Wicker Park.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So that was nice. I'm down with everyone staying at home because if you got to get out, it's quick.
Yeah. Hey, you can take care of business.
I think we'll try to get Brian Shimko on. I know we've been saying this, but they just, you know, started to reopen. So, you know, trying to make time and figure that out. And now we have some of his beer to drink. So.
I tell you, man, stocking up the bar, if we have to look at the, you know, the other side of quarantine, stocking up the bar and then being able to hit these guests with a nice regularity, man, those have been my favorite parts of the last 3 months. Yeah. Man. We're getting some good guests, man. We're giving some good talks. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. So if anyone's missed a lot of these, you should go back and listen to them because they're not focused on the events that you would have missed. They're focused on... We're spotlighting the people more so right. than what's happening like each week.
Right. You can learn about kombucha. You can learn about foreign exchange brewing out in Aurora, right?
Yeah, small bar and from Phil and
Beer Bistro, you know, a retrospective on Beer Bistro. Jesse Valencia, who was at Goose for a long time, who co-founded Mambacue, his new project that includes the dry hop in all three of their breweries, right? Mm-hmm. The good folks over at the husband and wife duo, we've had them on a ton of times.
Oh, Bulldog.
And Bulldog. Yeah. God, I'm not hitting the fastball. But I forgot, you know, brewery's been closed for 2 months. I forgot everybody.
I know. Right? and then we have a planned interview coming up with the guy from Liquid Love that just launched.
You mentioned that, yeah. So he was a guy over at Whiskey Hill.
Yeah, before the Goose guy showed up there.
Yeah, before, right. So that's interesting because he's I saw Beer Bistro is carrying his stuff. Not Beer Bistro, sorry.
Bitter Pops.
The Beer Temple.
Oh, Beer Temple. I think Bitter Pops might have it too.
Oh yeah, probably. Yeah. So that's interesting because you know, I want to know why he left.
Right.
And what he's working on. Yeah. You know, because the guys who run Whiskey Hill will tell you, like, they are very excited to share that this is the peak of their project. So I kind of want to know, like, what happened, what his story is about his time there. Right. I'm curious.
We'll get all the dirt, all the details. But man, since we've had all these guests on, we don't get to talk about, like, what's happening, like, in the beer scene, especially in Chicago and Chicagoland area. A big one was Three Floyds.
They announced that their pub is going to be closed indefinitely.
All right.
Yeah. So this was this is interesting because you got breweries taking two different approaches, right? You know, some of them hunker down and just get more creative. And if you're in the burbs, right, you know, they were open a week before Chicago. And, you know, but some places are taking a different approach. I know Half Acre, they could be open, right? Because they have food at both locations. They could have opened last week, but they've chosen not to. And another crew is Three Floyds. Three Floyds is saying, you know, it's not that fucking serious. It's just beer. We'll still have curbside, but we're not having sit down customers.
Right. And
you know,
and they could have opened probably a long time ago in Indiana. You know, there's not a lot of rules out there.
Yeah, I mean, somebody needs to do it, man. Because we would say this all the time about just in general, like if businesses that are open, not just beer businesses, but anybody that's open for business, if they're wearing shields or a mask, it's going to make the customers be more responsible about masks. And, you know, if somebody's got to take a stand and say, hey, man, maybe they can afford to take a stand and not be open. But somebody's got to take a stand and say, hey, I know we're all hurting, but maybe this shit ain't as safe as we were acting like it is just because we need the cash because this is business. Mm-hmm. No, there's no right answer to that, no. So I'm not judging. There's no right answer, but...
But I think that Floyd's Pub is going to be missed, even if coronavirus went away next week. They may not, you know, open right away because they were going to do a remodel or, like, an expansion, right?
Huge project, yeah.
And so maybe that was, like, we're just not going to do that. Like, that money doesn't make sense here, and we can just brew more beer, whiskey, and kind of go from there.
I know they need to quit playing with those they got a whiskey that's like $100 and it's like 17 month old. You know, and I'm just like, this whiskey is a year and a half old, and this whiskey set. Now this whiskey standard is like, you know, 2 years.
Okay.
Most whiskeys are four years, right? Most bourbons are 4 years. You know, and some of these whiskeys are 7, 10 years. Okay, and no, even those aren't $100. But this 3 Floyds Distillery one's a year and a half old is $100. I'm like, well, wait a second. Come on, what are we doing?
Right.
You know that. You know, but anyway, sorry.
But then Dark Lord Day, they were selling those bottles, right? Like, what happened with that? I feel like I saw a post that they were going up for sale, and then I didn't see anything again. Have you been following that?
Same. The one we had on the show, the Rari. The one from last year, that was the coveted one.
Mm-hmm.
It was frozen strawberries, like chocolate, basically like a Neapolitan.
That's good, yeah.
I was going to go for that one again if it was available for sale, because that was my only bottle.
But yeah, I don't know what happened.
No, man, I haven't seen anything. And I don't think a lot of it is done, but I think their catalog of stuff, you know, that's ready, they, you know, it'd have been nice. Because, yeah, like you said, they teased that they would sell it, but I haven't seen anything, man. Man, I haven't seen anything, man.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a... I feel like that was a big story, just like we've kind of missed and, you know, didn't get to talk about, but...
You know, one of the oldest brew pubs in the state, or, I mean, in the region. One of the, you know... The word iconic gets overused, right? But they're, you know, they have a following like no other, man. And yeah, we all got a lot of memories about. We all make the pilgrimage to Munster, right. So it means something to everybody, a lot of people. So them saying that we're not opening, we're closing definitely, you know, it affected me. I think, yeah. Right, I'm in the South Burbs every week, man. You know,
it was just a weird. I feel like, although I haven't been there in a long time, or that Dark Lord Day was the last time I was there. It's just like a sting, like, oh, really? Like, what are you guys seeing that maybe some other people aren't seeing? Or what are your thoughts? So.
Some of it's got to be driven around, you know, they got a former Whole Foods distribution that serves as their base for their cans, right?
Okay.
So they were focusing on Packard. They shifted. They got the distillery next door. It wasn't as a priority in their portfolio, right?
Right, I'm sure.
Yeah, and the stuff they were working on, it just didn't have the priority it probably held at one point.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's interesting because you talk to the crew like Dovetail, And, you know, they kind of went out their way to say, hey, open up breweries, even if they don't have food. And they were kind of saying with their plea to the city that, you know, like, shit, 75% of all their money they're making is coming from their tap room. Mm-hmm. And I imagine a lot of places are like that. So,
yeah, we're recording this on Tuesday. Chicago, those bars and breweries can open Wednesday for, I guess, consumption on premise, but in like a patio kind of rule. And then there's some weird BS about you can only be there for 2 hours.
Yeah, okay. Embrace the police state. Thanks, Lori.
Well, how is... I go outside, I go running or whatever. There are places on Division. It is packed. There are people inside that this pizza place parlor. It's so many people. Everyone's inside, too. Just because you open the doors or the windows means... it's just ridiculous. So you're going to police a two-hour rule, too? Doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I don't know if you got enough police to police all the bars and police the lakefront, right? Because the lakefront has a law about you can ride your bike through, but you can't chill. It's you can visit the lakefront with restrictions.
Oh, right. I didn't even follow.
So I don't know if we got enough cops to monitor all the bars and monitor the whole lakefront.
Well, they're busy sleeping in, you know.
Oh, yeah. So. You can't count. Yeah. All of... Oh, yeah, man. And we're talking the cops that actually work.
Right.
Not the ones that break into the alderman office to sleep when people are reporting riots. What the fuck, man?
That's too much work for Chicago police. They're not gonna stop someone for, you know, not a bar not following rules, someone going on a lakefront. They'll just zip by and flip on their lights for a minute. They don't really want to do the work.
Yeah. If, you know... If there's a domestic dispute at home and someone's getting beat up, and instead of sending a cop, you're going to send a trained professional, right? A trained mental health professional.
Yeah.
And then you're going to quit sending cops and then ultimately have fewer cops and, you know, have someone trained to do something other than shoot unarmed people, respond to emergencies. At the end, that's where we're headed, bud. And, you know, it's probably for the best, you know.
So,
shit, Chicago had like $100 million in fucking lawsuits, you know, for misconduct for cops last year. And that shit comes out the city budget and not come out the cops' retirement. Not that we're on that pace with the convo, but it doesn't come out of their retirement. It comes out the city fucking budget. This is retarded.
Yeah, it seems like we should have, if we're going to have all these rules on these bars and restaurants, probably should take some of that money and have... like health inspectors out there. That seems like what we need more of.
Yeah. Give that money to these places and allow them to have satellite locations with more space instead of having all these goddamn cops everywhere that don't know how to fucking act with a gun.
But that's unbeer related, but.
Sorry, man.
But these places, they're gonna open. We've kind of made it clear that we're not going to them.
Yeah.
I have, just like you, we can get all these beers. We can drink them at home. We have some outdoor space, although it's, you know, tiny. We have patios and steps and, you know, places we could, like, porches and everything we can kind of sit out on. But
walking down the middle of the street with a glass of beer, you know.
I have no need to go somewhere to drink a beer out of a plastic cup that I could just go get fresh beer from the brewery and drink it at home.
I will say that, you know, the idea of shutting down some streets, I think there's 6 streets citywide, right, where they're shutting down the street and allowing bars to do their thing with more space. That's a nice concept. I wouldn't participate in something like that. I think there's one on Lincoln Avenue.
Nice, okay. I wonder if
I might do something like that.
Yeah, Beer Miscuous might be part of that or included there.
Yeah. But it's strange times, man.
Yeah, I don't. Do you have a point that you would feel comfortable? Is there like a coronavirus case number that you're like, oh, if it gets to this number, then I'm good. I'll go to Dovetail.
Brad, I tell you, man, since I've known you and since, you know, since I've been in the beer, the big part about my number one attraction outside of, you know, knowing these small businesses and then, you know, drinking all these different beers, the number one attraction is getting out in these neighborhoods and meeting these people and going to these events, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and even to the point where it was just year round, like festival season wasn't a thing anymore. It was just party all year long and explore the whole fucking region for all that it has to offer. So I'm all about hanging out with people and having a drink, right? And getting those new experiences, man. But yeah, I just have no interest, man. You know, like I'm just not comfortable, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I don't know if that changes. I don't know. But you know, I saw the Dave Chappelle stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. and you know, people were spread out, but then they also had the thermometers, the infrared thermometers to take your temperature, right?
Okay.
So if you're over 100.6 degrees, you can't get in the spot. I mean, you know, when you look at it like that, like I go to Big Star every weekend and pick up bottles, right? And you know, they're doing their thing. All the tables are 6 feet apart. None of the tables are more than four people. I'm coming around to it. To answer your question, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. I'm coming around to it.
Yeah, I feel like I think today we were like in the 600 cases. I think if Illinois got in the like 200, I might feel a little better about going out to places. I'm like, okay. And then once that starts ticking up, then I'll be like, all right, I'll go back home. I don't
know. Yeah. I do miss it, though, man. I miss committing to an entire bottle of fucking booze. I miss hanging out at the bar and just kind of, you know, learning about stuff that way versus, like, we talk about all the time. We talk about having a beer trade because you got six beers and you really only need the two of them.
Right.
Right, because there wasn't an option just to get a fucking pint. I miss that, man. I miss that a lot, man.
Yeah, you try less beers in quarantine because... You have yes. four of them to drink, at least. And so,
right.
Yeah, I still have. I think I've ordered from Hopewell twice for delivery, and I still have ones from the first delivery. I'm like, all right, well, that's another pale ale. I have like two left. I don't know. I got to drink this new thing.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Hopewell, man. I think the DDH math one, that was my jam.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I haven't tried it yet. Oh, that was my jam. The food or pale ale, I think it sounded good in theory.
Okay. But it wasn't as good.
But the DDH math though, that was spot okay. on.
That's like, what I almost opened up today, but I went with the amber ale. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was very honkers ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
The food or one?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
It was very cold and wet.
Cold and wet. That's how you describe honkers. Cold and wet. Did you see? I was super sad. I missed that goose beer that they did. But I'm blanking on the name now. That like
the old fashioned one.
The like glitter can. The one for Pride.
Yeah. It was like with a trans.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on who she was though. I know she's a trans person. I don't know what she. Like, is she an actress? Is she an activist? Or yeah, like, I don't know what she is.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. But
or,
the can,
or even who she is. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked cool for a great cause. So I was like, oh, I totally just missed that one. It went out on social, and then it was gone within the same day.
Yeah, the Mars has a gay beer. Mars gay beer has like dicks all over, it, dildos all over. It. The gay agenda from. From Illuminated.
Okay.
That's a really cool can. It's like a, you know, the dude, you know, he's bare chested, but he's wearing a leather vest and he's got like a chariot. But he's instead of horses, they're like unicorns.
Huh.
He's got a unicorn chariot. It's cool. It's a cool looking can.
That's neat. Yeah.
And then there was this goose one. No. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it. And I have not also, speaking of goose, they made an old fashioned inspired beer. That aged in old Forster barrels.
Yeah, I think that went super fast too. I was like,
I hadn't seen that one either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Goose Island, man, you know, they don't call, they don't write. What the fuck? You know, They're putting out beer. They're not really telling us. They, Josh, they talked to us. They, I think they mentioned they at least sent a presser to Josh. I don't know if they sent him beer, though.
Okay.
Because he asked me if I got the presser. I'm like, I did not get this presser.
No.
About the gay beer. About the gay beer.
Yeah, that's Josh Riley. Speaking of him, he's out in the deep woods there of
past. This is past Crete. We think Crete's the end. This is past the edge.
Yeah, he's out there with Steam Hollow, right?
Right. So I think the guy is like a military vet, but I think the wife owns the joint. Their husband and wife duo.
Okay, they
out in Mantino right before you hit. Permanent.
They showed their true colors in the past couple weeks. If you haven't heard this, so it started, I can't tell how this started. Like, she yelled at someone on the street and was...
It, the way I get it, yeah, is that they were, there was a, like, a Black Lives Matter street protest, and they were on motorcycles?
Or bicycles? Maybe just bikes.
Maybe just bicycles. And they were trying to get through the crowd, but they were kind of like being jerks about it, like, get the fuck out of the way. This is bullshit. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was their vibe.
Yelling some other things. And then she decided to go on Facebook and say that George Floyd was an actor, porn star, and it was all basically fake / staged. And he's not really dead.
I mean... Now, first of all, if you're on XX videos making a little money on the side, right, and you're a bouncer, you know, matters not what you do for your cash, okay? The fact is the man was lynched in fucking public, and it was a shame, right? Now, with the Steam Hollow thing, man, that's just a very irresponsible use of your social media if you own a fucking brewery, man. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some, and I'm not trying to justify Steam Hollow's position, because I think their position was bullshit. There is a small community that believes that this was perhaps a sacrifice of some sort,
okay,
right? To keep up some kind of race war and to usher in martial law. I don't believe in those kind of things enough, and I don't have a fucking brewery. I don't believe in those things enough to go to my Facebook, and neither should they.
Right.
This is the kind of shit you, me and you can talk about, but you don't put that shit on your Facebook.
I enjoy watching some of them to hear what the crazy, to know what's happening on that side of the internet, I guess. But hers was even like a one I hadn't heard, and was a conspiracy idea that was like, whoa, like that he's not even dead, that they faked it. Like, man, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that they work together and who knows, like, whatever. But you want to say it was now fake? That's on another level.
Right. I mean, I don't know if it was fake. Now, were those cops? Was that a real ambulance? Maybe not. Were those real cops? Maybe not. They for sure as fuck killed that guy. I tell you that. But yeah, like we said, that's irresponsible, man. You're a brewery owner. You can't be saying shit like that. What the fuck is wrong?
Yes. Then she said that on her personal page, but then it like blew up on their Facebook page. And I think they tried to kind of defend their stance, like, oh, we should be able to have our own views and blah, 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 that kind of thing, which I totally get. Everyone should be entitled to their opinions on stuff, but.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to keep that stuff quiet, like, especially like you said, you have a brewery, like, you're selling to other people, like, you don't need to do that, and you're not a great, if you even go out of your way to write that stuff, you're not a great person. You can have thoughts like that, but don't act, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Shame on them. But, you know, like you said, man, they wanted to be identified as these kind of people, and they were.
Yeah.
Right? They were identified for who they really are. So, and, you know, even our guy Josh Riley, he kind of had to come out and make a statement like, hey, I've written about them in the past, but had I known they were on this bullshit, I wouldn't have.
Right?
Because they made a beer for his kid. He's got a daughter, little Penelope. So they made, back when they were homebrewers, they made this beer for Penny. And then they had a launch party at the brewery.
And you and Afro Beer Chick went out there.
We went down there, man. We took pictures with these motherfuckers, man. You know? So, yeah, I was, she got ahead of it. I was like, yeah, I get that. Because it's in bad form, and it's fucking tacky, and, you know.
Oh, and it's,
you did what you had to
do. And it's wrong. Yeah. It's just wrong.
And it's wrong. It's wrong. But you did what you felt like you had to do, so, you know.
And then there's other stuff, you know, they're deleting comments, and then it sounds like they're attacking other people with, like, fake accounts, but currently, I don't know if this hurts their business that well over there. Like, it might help them. Like, we're probably better off just not talking about them, just like we were before not talking about them, because they're never making it in the book. So, in the Beer Miscuous book.
You can cancel that. Yeah. And then, having overly strong opinions when your beer is not that tight is a very bizarre position to take. Yeah.
Well, I don't, yeah. Well, look at someone like Founders, you know, they're still here and doing shitty things. And their beer was good. So.
Their beer was good. I miss Founders beer. I just can't fuck with them. Yeah, you jerks, but. They have good beer, though.
You can't be doing it, or you shouldn't be thinking that way in general, good beer or not. So, it's a mess.
Yes, at the end of the day, that's the truest statement. Yeah, no, regardless of what it tastes like, you can't be saying shit like that.
Yeah. But yeah, if anyone wants to hear anyone go off on them, just, you know, follow Afro Beer Chick on Twitter.
And yeah. And there's a porch drinking story on there, too.
Yeah.
Where I think she might have been quoted in that, too.
So. Whew. I was never going to go out there. It's just too far. That's beyond my realm of travels. Nuts. I don't know. That's
Yeah. But I think, you know, I like that, you know. I like that people are saying exactly how they feel instead of, because that's a very much, you know, hiding behind a robe, you know, is a thing.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I'm kind of glad that even with our guy, the Donald, you know, he'll let you know where he stands. You know, he's like, you know, these guys over here, these guys are thugs. These guys that, you know. These white cats that go rush the Capitol in Michigan, just give them a break.
Right, yeah. Right?
He lets you know where he stands. So, I mean, we talk about silver linings. I'm kind of glad that this opportunity presented itself so that people can clearly identify who they are, right? Because we need a lot more of that.
Right, and to know where you should spend your money and, you know, put your dollar behind that. If that's what you believe, all right, go ahead, you know, but I didn't want to support that unknowingly.
Right.
Like, I think that's
the devil in front of you is better than the one behind you. Yeah. So, so kudos to Steve Hollow for saying, hey man, this is who the fuck we are, you know, and not playing games about it. So kudos for that.
All right. I don't know. It's you gotta pick a side these days. It's crazy, man. That's probably the most, I think, crazy Illinois beer story that has happened this year, or maybe in all my time of drinking beer in Chicago.
That and the whole idea that, you know, the mayor felt like she couldn't open breweries, like knowing that, you know, we have so many breweries, right? You know, more than Portland, right? Like. Not per capita, but like in volume, we got more breweries than just about any other town. Knowing that, and then telling us, "Hey, you can't open your patios," essentially because people don't know how to act after a couple of drinks. I mean, it's such a ridiculous stance, you know. But Navy Pier is okay to open, you know, if you live in a surrounding town, you get a discount on parking. So like Navy Pier can open, right? So that restaurants like fucking Bubba Gump Shrimp and whatever other mass-produced bullshit-ass restaurants they got on Navy Pier, they can make money. But, you know, these local, like true local businesses can't because they don't know how to, because their customers don't know how to act. I mean, it's all, it's bullshit. So you're right. The Steam Hollow thing and the fact that we couldn't do that for a minute were both way too bizarre for me.
Yeah. So I'll just, yeah, like I said, I will just hang out in my little bubble at home with my group of people that I know are staying safe, like you and, you know, other family members. And it's like, all right, we'll just keep it tight and just do ourselves.
I mean, yeah, man. And then just let it play out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want to get out and support, but let that shit play out first.
Yeah. It's like getting out and support, yeah. Like, I have a stack of beer in the corner because I keep supporting these breweries, and I can't drink that quickly. But I want to support everyone, and I, like, it's tough. Man. Let's see. Is that everything that's kind of happening? I don't know. We touched on. We were going deep on these episodes. So
yeah, Brad, we gotta bring it back in, bud. We can't be getting past the 30, man. We've ignored the speed limit on this show for so long that we gotta get back to 30.
Oh, I want you to plug your new show. You got the Neat Pour going on.
Yeah, man. It's me and Afro Beer Shake, and I was telling her it's weird because on this show, like Brad's the point guard. Brad gets us in and out of topics. Brad kicks off the show. Brad ends the show. Brad edits the show, right? And you know, I'm more of like, you know, I'm like a spot up shooter, right? Like, you know, you pass me the ball, I knock down jumpers. But it's the total opposite. Now I'm taking the lead more, which is kind of weird, and it's not something that I wear. It's not as smooth for me just yet, but you know, I think we were saying like it was a chance for us to, you know, share a ton of this whiskey stuff that we go to all the time, like over on thecoastywhite.com. It was all spirits. Well, beer is food, right? So you get invited to beer events, then you get invited to restaurant openings, and then, you know, spirits is a part of that journey. So there's been 2-3 years of events that, you know, we couldn't capture because it didn't make sense to put on a beer platform.
Right.
So this is in response to that. So I'm excited, man. It's a Chicago bourbon perspective. It's a parallel universe for our beer journey.
Cool.
And it's co-hosted by Afro Beer Chick and me.
Nice.
And it's the only time that me and Afro Beer Chick don't argue. So it's great.
I don't know. It might be strong opinions on favorite whiskeys or favorite bourbons that, you know, who knows where it leads.
First episode was about Uncle Nearest, who's the first black master distiller on record. Jack Daniels showed up to his house when Jack Daniels was 8 years old, right? And this is a story that had really never been told.
Oh, that's cool.
Two bottles from Uncle Nearest, which is a Tennessee sip and whiskey, dive deep into his story. And it's cool. I think, we just try to, you know, just try to do the bourbon journey some justice, man. And, you know, not get in there and fuck around. Just get in there and talk some bourbon and go on and get out of there. Cool. So, yeah.
Nice. So, yeah, check that out, the Neat Pour. And then Nick and I might do our first in-person episode since the quarantine. Revolution has a new beer coming out with a shit ton of coffee in it.
They're kind of referring to it as a coffee with beer instead of the other way around.
Yeah, what's it called?
Super Massive Cafe D.
Okay.
So this was at one of the parties. I think the first one. Probably the Cafe D one. Because the first party was D-Star and Cafe D.
Okay.
And then on draft, they had Supermassive, which they took these kegs of Cafe Deep and just loaded it with fresh, dark matter.
Cool.
So it's the same concept. Man, that beer was the real deal at this fucking party. So I'm super excited for that.
So yeah, we might make it together. We might drink that and, you know, talk some more Chicago issues that are happening. So,
yeah.
And I think that sold out pretty quick. They threw it up all online. They had like their Rev, I don't know, Cool Kids Club membership that if you're not a part of, you should probably be because you get first access.
Yeah, you don't have to wait in line at the events and when they kick back up, and then you can get, you'll be the first one to get these beers too.
Cool.
You know, kudos to Rev, man. They are not afraid to release a, first of all, have some dangerous ass fucking 14% parties all winter. like had like five of them. But then also, man, even last summer with the strawberry jacket and the honey jacket, you know, Bear Legs barley wines in the middle of the goddamn summer. You know, this spring they're coming out with a barrel aged oatmeal coffee stout in the warm months. You know,
crazy.
They're doing the Lord's work, Brad. They're doing the Lord's work, man. That is all right with me, man. Oh, it's a company. To accompany that, the next release is going to be a spinoff on Rye Way to Heaven.
Oh, cool.
With a ton of berries, like Boysenberry and some other stuff. The other ones escaped me, but like a fruit forward Rye Way to Heaven.
Oh, that sounds fun. Nice. Yeah. So yeah, looking forward to trying that. And yeah, so that will come out soon, and then we'll have these other guests coming. But we'll get out of here. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not recording?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAT, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, I think we're putting up a photo almost every day on there. Lots of drinking still happening, even though we don't go anywhere. So check that out.
It's essential, man.
Essential drinking. And ChicagoBeerPass.com. All the episodes are there. Check out the archive of the last couple months of all the guests. Like, there are some great ones. So go listen. Take care.
For sure. Cheers.